This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
If you will, take your Bible and open it up to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, while you're turning there, please remember that we, after the service today, to celebrate, no matter what, we're going to have a lunch after the service. And so after we're dismissed, there's going to be two activities that you can be a part of. If you maybe didn't come to the prayer event this several weeks back, we had a couple of events, a couple of activities that were really popular, and we wanted to extend it to you as well, if you haven't done it already. There's going to be maps out there in the foyer area of telling where you're from and what part of the world that you came from or part of the state that you came from. And please, you can put your pin on those things. Mona Kelly will be out there to help you with that. And also, something that we really enjoyed doing at the prayer event was coloring our hands and putting them on these two big posters. If you've already done it, then don't do it again. But if you haven't done it, we're going to have it outside where you can put your hand on these two big posters. And it would make us feel so great if we just had those posters just filled up with hands of people who are excited about what God is doing in our church. So please make sure you're a part of that. At the end of the service as well, we're going to reveal how much God has been able to bless this church through our capital campaign gifts that are over and above our tithes and offerings each week. And, we did get a couple of foreign coins in the offering, which was great. We can convert those. I think we did get a couple of Chuck E. Cheese tokens. Mike Rogers told us that he was going to place his gold tooth in the offering. But I never saw that, Mike. I don't know where that... Yeah, you still got it, okay. But he's committed it. He's dedicated it. But we had around $300 or $350 in change from our boys and girls. Can we give them a hand? $350 just in coins. And so we praise the Lord for that. But when I was thinking about a message for today, I wanted us to think about this. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. I mean, if you think about the history of our church and all the different things that we've done over the years, we've only done these things through faith. And what is faith? What does it look like? You may say to yourself, well, I think I have faith. Well, let's find out. What does the Bible have to say about faith? And so if you have found Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, in honor of God's word, I ask that you would stand one last time as we read two verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, reads this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look down at verse 6, which reads the following. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me read it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Dear Lord, I pray that you would speak to us from this passage. And Lord, I pray that you would help us remember that the same faith that was seen in the people who have come before us, Lord, may we experience that same kind of faith by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Did you know, if I were to ask you the question, how many would agree with this statement? That without God, nothing is impossible with God. How many of y'all would agree with that statement? Nothing is impossible with God. Did you know that's found in Mark's gospel? And all of us, if we are believers in God, we would say nothing is impossible with God. Praise the Lord. But did you know, not one chapter away from that verse of Scripture that says that nothing is impossible with God, says this phrase, that faith, nothing is impossible without faith. That with faith you can do the impossible. You can write down this verse of Scripture. It's in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, that says, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. You remember the man? He brought his son, and his son was demon-possessed. And he said the disciples could not heal him, could not cure him. And he said, you know, can you help my son? And he says, can I help? If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And the father said, I do believe. Lord, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. And oftentimes we feel that way, do we not? Where we have a sense of faith in God and we're wanting to believe, but yet at the same time we're hesitant about the future. What is faith? I want you to just think in your mind of one statement. Faith is our response to the expressed will of God. Faith is our response to what God has already said for us to do. You know, we celebrated Josiah's birthday a couple days ago. And he told me, he got one of the presents that he had been looking for, that he had wanted. And then he made the statement. He said, that's how you get it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, that's how you get what you want. I said, how? He said, there are three things. And then he told me, he said, you see it, you want it, and you get it. And I said, you know, that'd be a good sermon outline. You see it, you want it, you get it. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of y'all want to please God? I mean, honestly, you know, if we were to just boil it down to one simple truth, it would be to exercise faith in what God has revealed in His Word. What does He want us to do? He speaks to us. He tells us something to do. He tells us something to believe for. He tells us something that He wants to do in our life. And our faith is our response to the expressed will of God. In 1 John 5, verse 4, he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It overcomes the world, even our faith. First thing I want you to see is, what is this faith? It's not just head knowledge. Many times we will read a book or listen to a Sunday school lesson, even listen to a sermon, and we'll say, I believe that. And we think that that's faith. But did you know I can believe in an airplane and say, well, I believe that it can lift off the ground, and I believe that it can soar through the air, but that's not what the Bible calls faith. That's what the Bible would call head knowledge or mental assent. We see something, we look at the facts, and we say, yes, I believe in that. What is the difference between what God's Word teaches us about Bible faith and what I just described to you? It's not just merely a head knowledge of saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Did you know the Bible says that even the demons believe? So it's got to be more than that. And he says, what's the difference between this head knowledge and between what God's Word tells us about faith? And you know, when it comes to the airplane, I've got plenty of people, maybe even you in this room, you say, well, I believe that it can lift off the ground. And then I say, great, when can I plan for you to go with us on that mission trip overseas? And you say, well, as long as the mission trip is in driving distance, I'll go with you. you remember that passage from Matthew chapter 28 that where Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. You know, you stay low to the ground. But that's not what he meant. But what's the difference? When I say, join me, let's get on the airplane. and you say to yourself, nope, I'm not quite ready to do that. Did you know what? That is faith. To not just believe it in your mind, but to act on the expressed will of God, to act on that conviction that you have in your mind, that assent that you have in your mind, to believe it so much that you will entrust your whole self to it. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And then the chapter 11 of Hebrews chapter 11, it just goes through person after person after person that exercised faith. How was Abraham considered righteous? By his faith. It wasn't by his works. It was by his faith. You know, there was in the 1950s, when they started developing these skyscrapers, you know, 30, 40, 50 stories up into the air, these big business buildings where there were tall skyscrapers, they were just becoming popular. And there was one of these stories that came out of, people were very nervous because it was just glass. They had to work, maybe you've had to work in one of these skyscrapers, there was just glass in between you and plummeting 30 or 40 or 50 stories from the sky. And so there were sometimes offices that where there were people who were very nervous about just working in that environment. One story came from Reader's Digest where he was saying where the whole floor of workers, they were just petrified by working next to this glass. Their desks were close to the glass. They could not keep their mind on their work because they were just thinking about just plummeting 30, 40, 50 stories from where they were. And so the manager decided, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in the architect of this building. And so he brought in the architect, and the architect tried to describe in great detail how thick the glass was. And then he tried to describe how strong the steel was and all of the different things that make this building very strong. You can trust this strength. And they were not buying it. They just did not believe. And he said, okay, I'll give you a different... This was a big, burly man. He said, I know what I'll do. So he moved everybody out of the way, and he moved all the desks out of the way, and he went from one side... He backed all the way up. This is a big, burly man. He walked all the way back to the back wall, and he's facing that glass. And he went full steam at this glass. Full steam and hit that glass wall as hard as he could because he knew it would hold up. And he just bounced right off. He got hurt. But he had to have some way to help them understand that you can trust this glass. This is just like a wall. It's a barrier and you can trust it. And he entrusted his whole self onto that glass. Pushing through it? No. Just entrusting his whole self to it. Now listen, that's faith. It's not just tiptoeing up to it and knocking on it. It's entrusting your whole self to what God has called you to do or to be or to believe for. There was a missionary. You know, there's a verse of scripture in Acts chapter 16, verse 31 that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Right? And there was a missionary. He was trying to translate the scriptures in this just tribal tongue, and he could not come up with a word for believe. Every time he came up to it, he just could not grasp, and he couldn't work with the interpreter. They couldn't come up with a word that stood for believe. And then one day they were hunting. The whole tribe was hunting for deer. And when they got to this, the end of the day, they had killed all of these deer. They were absolutely exhausted. They were bringing the food back to be cooked and prepared. And one of the tribal leaders, he just came in, and there was a chair there. And he just came in, and he just plopped himself down on the chair. He just plopped himself down, and he says, isn't it good to stretch out on this chair? And now he said, Now, what did you just say? This missionary said, what did you just say? And he said it again. He said, I now have the word that I need to translate that word believe from English to your language. It means to just stretch out on this thing, on this chair, on this bed, something where you're entrusting your whole self to it. You know you're exercising faith right now. You didn't even think about it. You just sat right down in that chair and you've entrusted your whole self to that chair. That's faith. And that's the kind of faith that God's Word tells us pleases God. What does it look like? Maybe when it comes to this campaign, you're sitting there and saying, you know, that would be great to have these two buildings and parking lot, and that would just be great. But I'm just not sure. Maybe you say, you know, I think it'll be done. And maybe you have this nervous faith. People sometimes have a nervous faith where they say, where they sometimes wringing their hands while they're praying for God to do a miracle. Wringing their hands. Oh God. No, that's not faith. Faith is trusting God will do what He said He would do. It's saying, God's Word says it, I believe it. That's it. And I'm going to entrust my whole self on what God's Word has said. That's what faith is. Faith sees what other people cannot see. Faith reaches out to accomplish what others would consider is impossible. Faith also believes God and expects a miracle. Faith expects a miracle. You think of those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Our God is well able to deliver us from your hand, O King. Faith expects a miracle. But then fourthly, faith bows to the sovereignty of God. Where those three Hebrew children said, even if our God doesn't deliver us, know this, O King, we will never bow to you or to your idol. See, faith sees what other people cannot see. Faith reaches out to not just accomplish what's easy. Oh, I got this faith to do something, and everyone knows you can do it. Faith is not real faith unless it is something that is virtually impossible. In man's eyes, it's almost impossible. But yet, through God, it is that nothing is impossible. And you believe and you say, God, I'm going to do this for you. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it because you have told me to do it. And faith expects a miracle, but then faith bows to the sovereignty of God. Because we're not perfect and we can miss it sometimes. And we don't know. We're not God. We can't rub a genie called God and get our three wishes from God. No. But there is a positivity about faith. There's an expectation. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see them yet, and yet I know that God is going to do something. That's faith. You know, we talked about spiritual gifts several months back. And there's a spiritual gift of faith. I don't know if you've been around someone who has that special gift of faith. I've been around a couple of people who have it. Praise the Lord when you have that gift of faith in leadership positions or in influential positions in your church or in your ministry context. You begin to say, well, I don't know how this is going to happen. And then you have one person or two people with this gift, and they just pull everybody else around them and say, we can do it because God told us to do it. Now, that's what we've had with our capital campaign. We can do it because God's told us to do it. We didn't put this vision in our own mind. God has put this vision in our heart. God has put this direction in our minds. And we're saying yes to Him. This is the progression of faith. We've talked about what it is, but let me talk about the progression of faith. There are four different areas of the progression of faith. Just write these down just very quickly. Number one is you seek Him. You say, how can I have faith? Number one is you seek Him. See, it's not so much about just believing. Believing in what? It's not just believing. I believe. Well, what do you believe? Well, I believe what you believe. And you say, well, what do they believe? Well, they believe what I believe. And then, well, what do you all believe? Well, we believe the same thing. What is it you're playing your faith in? It's not of your faith that matters. Billy Graham said, it's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of the God that you have your faith in. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. If I didn't believe, I would bring my son to you to heal or come. You see? He's exercising faith, not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of your God. How your God get bigger to you? It doesn't mean that it gets bigger, but how does it get bigger to you? As you spend time in His Word, as you spend time in His presence, as you remember the faithful acts of God. You know, I think about David as he faced Goliath. And David has a telling phrase that he uses when he's facing Goliath or when he's about to face Goliath and he's talking to the others and they say, how can this little boy face this giant? And David said, I'm a shepherd. And there's been times when I've been faced with taking care of the sheep, and there would come a bear, and that bear would come, but God would help me conquer that bear and kill that bear. And then there was a lion, and that lion came, and God allowed me to conquer and kill that lion. And he says this phrase, the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine. Now that's what it means to remember and reflect on the faithful acts of God. Those who know their God shall do exploits, Daniel says. What does it mean to seek God? To seek Him. In John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. How? How can I ask for things to happen and they just happen? If you abide in me, find your home in me is what it really means. Find your home in me. And my words find their home in your heart. You can ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. Why? Because my will now becomes His will. His will for me. In Romans 10:17 is the second point. Not just you seek Him, but number two, He speaks to you. We're talking about the progression of faith now. He speaks to you. You say, well, I don't hear God talk to me at all. I'm not talking about audibly. But deep impressions in your heart. Has God spoken for you to do something? Because I don't know. If you tell me that God never directs you and leads you, as Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons and daughters of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, if you're not being directed in some way toward this next thing that you need to do, this next goal that you need to accomplish, this next mission that He has you, this next person that you are to witness to, this next thing to believe God for, then I would say, are you really seeking Him? Because you first seek Him. And then as an automatic response, He speaks to you. You think about it in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees the glory of God appear. And he sees the angels surrounding the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah reflects on his own sinfulness and he says, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. The angel comes and cleanses his lips with the coal of fire. And he says, now you are cleansed. And you know what happens right after that? He talks about, God says, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? And he's speaking to Isaiah. And Isaiah says in chapter 6, he says, here am I, not here I am, location, here am I. Here am I, send me. It's not just a matter of seeking God in a worship experience. It's allowing Him to speak to you. So what has He put on your heart to believe Him for? Then number three, it's you step with Him. You step with Him. You know, I mean, if I could just put it in country language. You know, faith is, you know, God tells you to do something and you say, yeah, let's go do it. And then you get up and go do it. That's faith. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Do you know that's happened over and over in the Bible? I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to see this accomplished. And yet I hear His word and I respond and I say, let's go do it. That's faith. You step with Him. You move with Him. And then lastly, you see God move. You see God move. It's the miraculous. Who have we seen do this in times past? You know, I think of Mary in Luke chapter 1. Gabriel says you're going to have a son. And you're not even going to know a man intimately, but you're going to have a son. And she says, let it be to me. Let it be done to me according to your word. Wow. That's faith. Peter is out there and he is on a, and he's on a boat and he's come in from not being able to catch anything. And Jesus says, let down your nets. And you know what Peter does? He lets down the nets. And he captures a big old bushel full. The greatest catch he's ever caught. I think of the 12 Hebrew spies in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. And I think of that story where they are at the promised land and they send in a committee, right? And that happens in the Old Testament as well. They send in a committee. And they say, you need to find out about the land. You need to find out how good it is. You need to find out, is it a land flowing with milk and honey as God told us it was? You need to find out about the enemies there. You need to find out. And 10 people came back with, now listen, 10 people came back with an evil report. The Bible calls it an evil report. What was that evil report? It was a report full of unbelief and doubt. It was a report where they say, oh, the land is surely great. The land is surely wonderful. I mean, the grapes are huge. The fruit is bountiful. This is going to be a wonderful land, but there are giants in that land. And did you know that we believe that there was only one kind of giant there? Then the rest of them were just normal people. But no, they began to see everything through the prism of these giants. We can't conquer these giants. We can't do it. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. But there were two that came back out of the whole generation. Two that came back with a good report. What was a good report? A report full of faith. A report that said, you know what? If God told us that we could have this promised land, we're going to have that promised land. I don't care if there are giants in the land. I don't care what is in front of us. If God told us to have it, we're going to have it for the glory of God. And Joshua and Caleb were the two that were able to enter the promised land because everybody else went with the majority crowd. The majority crowd went with their feelings. The majority crowd went with their facts. You know, Pastor, if you just look at the facts, you know, we can't do this. You know, Pastor, I just feel like I can't get behind this or that. I just feel like this is not the time to move. And yet God has spoken. God has spoken to our church as a whole. God has spoken to us individually. God has spoken to us as families and as church leaders. And we must expand. We must expand to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And so the response is it being based on facts? Is it being based on feelings? Well, I'm just a facts and figures guy, Pastor. I don't know how else to be. You know, Joshua and Caleb also came back, and their report was full of facts. But it went further than that. And it was a report full of faith. That said, these giants, they're there, but we can take them. God will be with us. Let's not hesitate. He's with us. God has put them in our hands. All we have to do is go reach out and take the land. And the majority crowd went with those 10 spies. God was angry. And God said, none of y'all are going to enter the promised land. Your children will enter, but you will not. You'll wander this desert until you all die off. But two people are going to enter that land. They trusted me, Joshua and Caleb. All I'm saying is these are examples of faith. Examples of faith. You see the progression of faith. You see the examples of faith. You see what faith really is. Now, what does it mean for us today? Can you turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 1? In Mark chapter 1, Jesus has been going through a heavy, hectic day of ministry. And you know what he does here in Mark chapter 1? He goes through this activity and that activity. John baptizes Jesus. Satan tempts Jesus. Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. Four fishermen called as disciples. Jesus cast out an unclean spirit. Peter's mother-in-law is healed. All of these things are happening. And in verse 35, he says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daybreak, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But Jesus said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. Because for this purpose, I have come forth.'" You know what would have been easy? What's easy for you and I to do? To do what Jesus had done all during that day. His ministry is now all throughout that day. It's just an incredible activity, a flurry of activities where God is doing tremendous things through the ministry of Jesus. So much so that the crowds are clamoring for his attention. They want to hear what he has to say. They want to see him do many miracles again. They're receptive to him. And Jesus makes this statement. He says, "We can't stay here. We can't stay here. We must move on to the other towns, to the other villages. We can't stay here. This has been good. This has been great. This has been wonderful. God has done a great thing. Praise the Lord. But we can't stay here. We can't stay here." I find this in the Old Testament. Abraham is seeking after God. And he's in a land where his family is. And you know what? God speaks to Abraham. And you know what God tells Abraham? God says, "You can't stay here. You've got to go out into an area that you don't know. You don't know where you're going to go. And you don't know when you'll get there. You can't stay here, Abraham." I think of the children of Israel, like we just talked about. You can't stay here in the wilderness. You can't stay here. There's a promised land that's right out there. You need to go forward and move forward. You can't stay here. I think of before they left Egypt. 400 years they were slaves in Egypt, the children of Israel. And Moses sends this message to Pharaoh. "Let my people go. They're not staying here. They're not staying here. I've been faithful to them here. I've been their God here. They've known me here, but they're not staying here." Even kicking and screaming, those children of Israel, once they left Egypt, they began to complain. "Why are we here? Why can't we just go back? Why can't we go back to Egypt? We had food there. We had all kinds of different types of food. We had different spices. We had different meats. We had all this wonderful stuff. Why can't we?" Yeah, and you were slaves. You can't stay here. Nation of Israel was built. They go off into Babylon, Babylonian captivity. And even in Babylon, there's a cupbearer by the name of Nehemiah who reflects on the destruction of Jerusalem, how Jerusalem is in ruins. The city of God is in ruins. Nehemiah has a comfy, cozy job in Babylon. He's the cupbearer. He could have stayed there, but you know what he told his king? He says, "I can't stay here. I can't. There's a mission that God has put inside of my heart to restore and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I can't stay here." Jesus, right here in this passage that we just read, he's telling his disciples, "We can't stay here." Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he says, "But you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth." And you know what Jesus is telling his disciples at that time? "You can't stay here. You can't stay in Jerusalem. You must go on to Judea, to Samaria, those people that you don't necessarily like to associate with. And even to the uttermost parts of the earth. You can't stay here. God, you've been faithful to us here. God, you've given us manna from heaven," the children of Israel would say. "And yet the promised land is right over there. We can't stay here." What is the mandate of faith? The mandate of faith is saying, we can't be content right here. it's very easy for us to be content and say, God, you've been so good to us here at Good Hope. You've been so good to us. You've been so good to my family. This is a wonderful church family for us to raise our family in and just grow old together and have great times of fellowship. And you know what Jesus would say to you and to me? We can't stay here. There are more people right outside of these walls who don't have that church home that you enjoy, that I enjoy. There are more boys and girls who have not found the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. There are more teenagers and individuals who need to come under the sound of a Bible-teaching church. There are other believers who have been raised in other faith environments that may have never known the good word of God. They may believe in Jesus, but they need to be grounded in His word. Remember what makes our church unique. Grounded in the word, growing in Christ, gifted for ministry, and going on mission. We can't stay here. You say, praise the Lord, we went to Guatemala. Praise the Lord, we went to Haiti. Praise the Lord, we've been to Romania. We can't just stay here. We've got to keep going. We've got to move on. What's the next assignment, Lord? We don't argue with Him. We just report for duty. And we expect God to do more with us than He's done with us in the past. We can't stay here. So I find in our faith journey, we've come this far by faith because people before us had said to each other, we're not staying here. We are going to move forward. We are going to expand. We are going to be able to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And that's why you're here. And that's why I'm here. Praise the Lord for the faith that has preceded us. And sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I need to honor that person who's come before me. The greatest way that you could ever honor someone who has gone before you, that you're standing on their shoulders, is now listen, to use and exercise the same kind of faith that they used to put you on their shoulders. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for how faithful You have been to us. Lord, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please You. We know that we have to entrust our whole selves to You. Lord, we also know that You've spoken to us. We've sought Your heart. And we feel that You have put a blueprint in our heart and in our minds about how to reach more boys and girls with the message of Jesus Christ, how to reach more individuals who need to be in Bible study, who need to be in times of prayer, who need to be in a worship service where they will worship You and honor You. Lord God, we have humbled ourselves in an incredible prayer event, sanctifying and consecrating ourselves to You. And sanctifying and consecrating these buildings to You to be used for holy purposes, to be used for the expansion of Your kingdom. Lord, we've come this far by faith. To You be all the glory and honor and praise. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, the moment you've all... Amen. Amen. And I'm going to ask our campaign director, Brenda Rimmer, to be what she's been the whole time, the money sign. She said that she would do it. She would be the money sign if she didn't have to say anything. So we'll let her do that. All right. So are y'all ready? Let's just wait for a minute. All right, drum roll, please. Ta-da! Wait a minute. That's not right. I think we got this wrong. Hang on just a second. Okay, let me look at it. All right. Okay, that was... We don't put a zero on this. Okay. So that... Okay, Amos, hold it up like you mean it. Okay, there we go. Ta-da! Yes! No. No, no. Nope. I've got that wrong here. All right. Let's try this one. This is it. This is it. $500,330. Oh, I forgot to bring them down. Yeah, y'all come on down. That one. Here, you hold that. Now. $1,353,000. There's only one response that we can have, and that's to ask our worship team to come up as they're going to lead us in a song as well. Let's praise the Lord one more time. Thank you. All right, y'all can go and down. Thank you. Head on down.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.